This is a true story. In 1932, the Australian government went to war with the emus. Do you guys know what an emu is? It's a large flightless bird, native to Australia. It's like an ostrich. What happened? There was 20,000 of these birds running through the outback, tearing up farmers' crops. So the army came in with tanks and machine guns and went to war with the emus. Now, this is the best bit. I'm not making this up. Please look it up. We fucking lost. We lost twice. We tried again in 1945, got outsmarted by the birds. We're meant to be allies of you, America. What kind of help are we going to provide? Are you going to war in Iraq, Afghanistan? Do you need help? Need help? There's no birds there, is there? There's no birds. We haven't done well with birds in the past. You'd tell us if there was birds, wouldn't you? This is what's going to happen, okay? We're just telling jokes. They're just jokes. Just jokes, okay? This is comedy. Comedy. Look, the word's right there. Comedy, okay? Just let's all remember that. No one's allowed to get offended. A lot of people are getting offended very easily these days. And then everyone's just worried about saying the wrong thing. And I know that you are, because you do the same thing that I do. If you're driving along in your car, and you've got passengers in your car, and you answer a phone call, and it goes on speakerphone, the first thing you say is, just letting you know that you're on speaker, and there's other people in the car. You may as well say, don't talk about the shit we usually talk about. There's other people here. They won't get our humour, they'll judge us. Everyone's terrified of offending. You can't offend Australians, you can't. You tried. You tried with Outback Steakhouse, you tried. Fuck you, America. How dare you? How dare you? Just a fabrication franchise throughout your entire country. That's a complete mockery of my whole culture. And you guys are totally fine with that. Are you totally fine? What the fuck is a blooming onion? I've never heard of that in my life. It's a staple dish at this establishment. You all know it. It's a deep fried onion the size of a football. It's what they eat. It's what they eat down under, you know? We don't call it down under either, by the way. We're there. We're there. We don't call you up over or whatever you are. I'm not offended by Outback Steakhouse. I think it's hilarious. I don't care. There's more stupid shit that we've done in my country that you can make fun of. Much more embarrassing stuff. I'll give you three examples, okay? These are three examples of some stupid shit that we've done in my country. So if you ever meet Australians, bring these ones up instead of Outback Steakhouse. So in the 60s, we had a prime minister who drowned. He was prime minister at the time. His name was Harold Holt. He drowned swimming off the coast of Australia, never to be found again. And in Melbourne, Australia, where I'm from, in his honour, we built the Harold Holt Swimming Centre. He fucking drowned. And we built a swimming centre in his honour. What a pack of assholes.
Oh,
So I grew up in a place called Shark Bay, okay? Shark. Shark with an R, okay? I don't pronounce my R's, okay? I don't have time. Shark, okay? Shark. Shark. Like a shark. You know what a shark is. Fuck you. All right? Like, Dana, Dana. You know what a shark is. Stop it. So Shark Bay, it never dawned on me how ridiculous this was. When I was a teenager, the local government realised that no tourists were coming to the area. For obvious reasons. So they changed the name to Safety Beach. That's the complete opposite of Shark Bay. They did nothing to improve safety, nothing. There's sharks there, a fucking lot of them. And now they're just luring tourists into a death trap, basically. Like, yeah, nah, come in, nah, it's Safety Beach, it's totally fine, yeah. Yeah, it's totally safe, yeah, go swimming, of course, why not? Ooh, oh no, that's not a shark. That's a safety shark. It's a dolphin, you pussy, get out there. What the hell's wrong with you? So I moved to America. I moved to Hollywood. That's where I moved first from Australia. My plan was to go to Hollywood, become a star. And I'd said that to my friends when I was leaving. I said, I'm going to go to Hollywood. And they all went, ah, Hollywood, you dickhead. I'll give you 6 months. I'll give you 6 months. And then you'll be having sex with some old lady in Malibu just to pay your rent. That's what they said. They all laughed at me and I went, I'm going to go to Hollywood and be a famous comedian. So I moved to Hollywood. I was there for about 6 months. And this old lady from Malibu came up to me. This happened after a comedy show. This old lady came up to me and she said, I'm having a private party down at my house in Malibu. It's all Australian themed. I'd like you to come and perform. And I thought, oh, no, shit, it's happening. It's happening. My friends predicted it, it's happening. And I thought, surely she can't pay me enough money. And then she went, I'll pay you $3,000. And I went, oh, look, what time do you need me to be there? What time? So I went down to her racist party and... I'm aware Australia's not a race, but anyway. I went down there. She would have spent $100,000 on this afternoon garden party. It was all Australian themed. For her 12 friends, that's all that were there. I was the only Australian. It was fucking weird. It was like an Australian version of Get Out. That's what it felt like. I thought, this doesn't seem safe, I need to leave. And I said to the old lady, I said, do you want me to get up and tell jokes? Do you want me to do stand-up? Is that why I'm here? And she said, no, I don't want you to do that. I just want you to walk around and just be Australian. That's what she said to me. And then she had a handler there. I'm not making this up. They handed me a kangaroo on a leash. A real-life kangaroo. You don't hold a kangaroo on a leash. That's a very strange thing to do. That's like one of you guys having a bald eagle as a kite. Just like, oh. Jesus, why did we get a bald eagle kite? This is ridiculous. He's already shat on Grandma twice. Why did we... So that's what it felt like, having a kangaroo on a leash. And I'm walking around this lady's backyard, just with a kangaroo on a leash, just going up to her 12 guests going, g'day guys, how you going? Yeah, it's a kangaroo. I didn't think that'd be here either, but here we are. Hello. Anyway... Shrimp on the barbie, dingo's got my baby, have a nice night. Just saying the stupidest shit that I could think of. Do you know how embarrassing that was? Walking around with a kangaroo on a leash? I would have rather had sex with the old lady. That would be less embarrassing. The kangaroo was embarrassed. He looked up at me and said, "Do you think if we both fuck her, we can leave?" And I went, "I don't know, that sounds illegal. I don't think we should. We should entertain that idea." Picture how horrifically offensive that party is, by the way. Put any other culture in that position, how offensive that would be. But we're all laughing, because Australia doesn't count, and I know that. I know that, and I'm okay with that. But she couldn't do that with any other culture. She couldn't say to a couple of guys from India, "Okay, you Indian guys? Yep, come on in, come on in. Okay, you're just going to be in this 7-Eleven here, okay?" "I don't want you to just get angry if anyone comes in. Just be like, oh, stop reading the magazines. Get out of here." She can't do that. And she can't say, "Okay, and you six Mexican guys, can you go on the other side of the fence and just try and get into the party the whole time? Just remember that we're all friends. We're all friends here. Let's all remember, Outback Steakhouse is a thing that exists. Let's all remember."
Dash, have you got that that picture? I want to show you guys, in case you thought I was making that up. Have a look at the T-shirt they made me wear. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. Walking around the yard. Look how big the kangaroo is. That would have beat the shit out of me. $3,000, I'd do it again tomorrow.
I don't know, I'm scared of everything in your country. Everything terrifies me. I'm not scared of anything in Australia. It's not a real place, it doesn't exist. You know, we were founded by criminals, we're a convict settlement. You know, the first police force in Australia was just made up of the best behaved criminals. That's how law enforcement started in my country. So everyone's dodgy. You can get away with shit. If you get pulled over by the police for speeding and the cops go, "Oh, you were speeding back there," you can go, "Oh, come on." And they go, "Oh, yeah, fucking good point. All right, get out of here. Come on, get out of here. You scallywag, go and get out of here." Nothing happens. That's. But here, everything terrifies me. I'm scared of my credit score. I don't even know what it is. I'm too scared to look at it, because if you look at it, it fucking goes down. What is this number that we've all been assigned that we're too scared to look at? Someone says, "Oh, we have to do a credit check," and you go, "Oh, no, 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 no. I don't look at it. I don't look at it. You shouldn't look at it. If you look at it, it goes down. Don't look at it." And they go, "It's just a soft check. There's a soft check and a hard check. This is just a soft check." And you're like, "What's a soft check?" And they go, "It's when we have a little look, like we're over here, and then we just go, oh, there it is, I saw it. I softly checked, I had a look, it was a soft look. Oh, there it is." I don't have time to watch a TV show. I'd love to watch Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad. I'd love to watch one of these shows. I can't commit all that time. It's like 450 episodes over 75 seasons. It's like 4 years of my life just dedicated to this main character who dies in the end. And then they all come back for another season on Netflix. It's too much. It's too much to commit to. I'd like to be religious, I would. I don't have time. I can't commit to this main character who just dies in the end. And then he comes back for another season on Netflix. Ah, fuck off, that was good. I don't like that reaction. I compared the resurrection of Jesus to the resurrection of TV shows on Netflix, and you all disapproved. Are we in the Bible Belt? No. So shut the fuck up. I do wish I was religious. I'm jealous of people that have religion in their lives. I'd love to, but there's a spectrum of religion, isn't there? And you just want to be like right in the middle somewhere. Just have some faith, you know? Just nice religion. Just be able to blame shit on someone else when it goes bad. Just a nice midsection of religion. Because if you're too far this way and you're an atheist, you're just fucking boring. Like, everyone just dies. Everyone, there's this and then there's just darkness and everyone's dead in a ditch. Like, what do you believe in? Nothing? Nothing? It's just this and then nothing? You believe in no magic, no Hogwarts, nothing? What are you... Nah, it's just here and then it's death and that's it and that's all that happens. Shut the fuck up. But then on the other side, if you're too religious, just know that you're very fucking annoying, okay? You're not annoying me, you're annoying God, okay? God's got shit to do, like a lot of shit to do. You think he needs to hear from you every day? Every fucking day with your problems? Every day, please, Lord, give me the strength to endure Margaret at work. She breathes through her nose, and I know I'm meant to love my fellow man, but I just shut the fuck up. He's got shit to do. You're annoying him, thanking him every day for the gift of life. It's too much. It's too much. I'll put it in perspective for you, okay? You've got a friend, your friend's name's Gary, and you buy Gary a gift for his birthday, a sweater. You give him the sweater, he loves it, and he thanks you. Every fucking day. For that sweater, that's going to get very annoying, isn't it? Like, it's a Friday, you're at home, and you answer the phone, Gary! Oh, yeah, no, you don't have to thank me again for the gift. That's how a gift works. I give it to you, you thank me at the time, and then we move on with our lives. I'm glad you like it. No need to call back. Saturday, phone rings again. Are you fucking serious, Gary? Are you going to thank me every day? Quite frankly, I'm pissed off I gave you the sweater now. Just move on with your life, okay? Don't call back here. Sunday, phone doesn't ring. But Gary comes around to your house at 10 o'clock in the morning and sings songs to you for an hour and a half about how much he loves the fucking sweater. You bought my sweater. Not one. Shut the fuck up, Gary. Why are you here? He's gathering up coins and giving them to you. This is for the sweater. I love this so much. There's a sign at the Denver airport that I saw. I was in the male bathroom at the urinal, and they got little signs there. And this sign said, sex traffickers don't discriminate. What? What the fuck does that mean? Is that pro-sex trafficker? Why is that sign there? Like, I'm there reading it going, sex traffickers don't discriminate. Ah, I didn't know that. Did you know that? Sex traffickers, they don't discriminate. No, so... Well, they're not all bad, then. Who thought sex trafficking needed a positive marketing spin? Was it the head of the sex traffickers union? At one of their biannual meetings, they have two meetings a year to discuss what's new in sex trafficking. And the head of the union gets up and he goes, guys, guys, gather round, guys. It's all guys, you know it's guys. Guys, gather round. Did you know public perception for sex trafficking? Look, it's not good, not good. Because look, are we sex traffickers? Yes, okay. Guilty, guilty as charged. But I'll tell you one thing that we don't do. We don't discriminate. And there's like a buzz in the room and everyone goes, yeah, shit, Jeff's right. I don't discriminate. I've never discriminated. And Jeff feeds off that buzz. He goes, yeah, we need to get a slogan out there just in the airports. Just sex traffickers don't discriminate because we don't. We don't discriminate on race, religion. We don't care what high school you went to. We'll grab anyone and just chuck you in the back of the van. And when you're in the back of the van going, what, why me? Well, I say, why not you? That's as rough as it gets. So. Do you know, I saw this sign the other day, and this shows the level of my maturity, okay? It was a sign for an art exhibit, and someone had put an F in front of the art, and I laughed for a week and a half at the idea of a fart exhibit. And what might be at a fart exhibit? Is it just a bunch of buttons on the wall and you go, oh, that's a fun one. Oh, wonder where that one's from. Can I tell you guys about my favourite fart of all time? I think about this fart way more than you should think about a fart. Like three times a week in the shower, I'll remember the fart. And it wasn't even my fart. You shouldn't think about someone else's fart for so many years, but I did. And it happened a long time ago. I was 12 years old. And I went to a very religious school, an all-boys Christian grammar school. And the whole school would go to church three times a week. Like 1,000 boys sitting in this huge church, stained glass roof and a pipe organ. Like the place was incredible. And we're all sitting there listening to the priest as he's talking. And my mate Mikey, sitting next to me, nudges me and goes, hey, smell this. Because he's a 12-year-old boy and he's gross. And I looked and he was like this. Like he was... His plan was to just do a silent fart and watch me just flail around in the filth that he created. Like, ah! Ah. That was his big plan. But he farted and it was so loud. It was so incredibly loud. It vibrated off the wooden pew and bounced around the church. It got louder as it went around. It defied logic. It made no sense. You know how farts change octaves sometimes and go... This one just stuck the landing. It just went... It was beautiful. It was heavenly. It was the perfect fart. The guy playing the pipe organ like went, oh, I didn't touch anything. That's how heavenly beautiful this sound was. He thought he'd touched a note on the pipe organ, but it was Mikey's fart the whole time. And the thing that I remember and laugh at the most is Mikey's face, because he looked at me like a cheeky young boy with the prank of a lifetime, and then his face just went to horror in seconds. And he looked at me like I did something wrong. Like, why would you let me do that? And I'm like, I didn't let you do that. That was all you. So once the fart kind of dissipated, the priest stopped and pointed at Mikey and went, Mikey, did you fart? Get out! And he kicked Mikey out of church. And then Mikey had to walk back up the church aisle, apologising to every teacher along the way. I'm sorry I farted. I'm sure you all heard it. It went right around the church. That was me. I was trying to do a silent fart, but it really got out of hand. I apologise. And that's when I lost it. The fact that he had to apologise for his fart up the aisle. I burst out laughing. And the priest looked at me and went, right, Monty, you get out too. So I had to go back up the aisle, apologising to every teacher. I'm sorry, I laughed at Mikey's fart. I know you all heard it. It was going around, but I was right next to it. I copped the full brunt of it. It was incredible. And I went out the front where Mikey was very sheepish outside, and I was just laughing my ass off. And over the next 15 minutes, six more boys came out, one after the other. Each laughing at the previous person who'd laughed at Mikey's fart. Anyway, it's my favourite fart, ladies and gentlemen, favourite fart. I laugh about that in the shower, and my wife hears me from the other room and goes, are you laughing about the fart again? I go, yes. I don't know. I try and be a mature person. I try and be a good citizen. Honestly, I have a better relationship with dogs in my neighbourhood than I do with people. There's a corgi called Max, and I see him every day. And I go up to him, and I like go, hey, Max, hey, how you doing? You having fun? You going to the park? I have a full conversation with Max. And then I look up at his owner, and I just go... I've never said a word to this guy. I don't know what his name is. Max and I have a full friendship. I saw a lady the other day who had picked up her dog's poo in the plastic bag and attached it to her dog's collar. I know, how cruel is that? The poor dog. Imagine what the dog's thinking. Just walking around, trying to pick up bitches, just... Oh, hey, how you doing? Noticed a shit I did earlier. Thought I'd hang that right there, yeah. I know, it's a little odd, but I can't get it off. Do you know how I've studied English my whole life, spoken English my whole life, and I can't spell banana without Gwen Stefani's help. Still to this day, I try and I go, I can do it without her. I can do it without her. And I start and I go, how many N's are there? 7? I don't know. I'm lost. And in your head, you have to go B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Oh, yeah, that's how you do it. Like I'm an idiot. She is a smart woman. She saw a gap in the market. She knew we were all stupid and couldn't spell. I got married in July last year to a nice American girl. I did it. Thank you. Thank you. I got a green card. I did it. Yes. I'm legal. We were engaged for like 2.5 years because of the pandemic. And when we first got engaged, this is the first thing that we had to do was get engagement photos. Okay, this is an American tradition. We don't do this in Australia. And it's fucking weird. We were down the beach with a professional photographer doing shit we've never done before and we'll never do again. I was told to stand there and look out over the ocean, so I'm standing there like this. My fiance was told to stand right behind me and put her arms around me like that, right? And I, in turn, was to hold her back like this. So we're both standing there, staring out over the Pacific. she can't see shit because her face is just in my back. We're trying to make that look cute. Like, ah! So we're standing there in some kind of reverse prom backpack scenario. And I thought, this isn't right. This doesn't feel right. And I went to the photographer. I don't think we should. And she took that photo. And then we sent that to all of our family and friends. And said, this is how we stand at the beach. We're idiots. We're thinking of starting a family. This isn't a good start. I do most of the cooking in the house. It's just that she burns 90% of shit that she touches in the kitchen, and I'm not allowed to say anything about it. You're not allowed to. It's very sexist and misogynistic to point out a woman burning something in the kitchen. You're better off just letting them burn shit and just saying nothing. But this is what she does. She put a pot on the stove, turn the stove on, and then she just fucks off for an hour and a half. And does something else. And then she comes running back in and goes, oh shit, how did that happen? Oh. And I'm sitting there going, I fucking know how it happened, but I'm not allowed to say anything because of the rules of society, and I'll get cancelled. It's hard being in the car with her when she's trying to do a U-turn. It's really hard. It's very hard. I don't think she knows what the letter U is. I don't think she knows. See, this is what a U-turn is, right? You're coming down the street and you need to be back over this side of the street. So you just do a U shape. It's in the title. It's in the title. Just do a U-shape. Get back to where you needed to get to. But what my wife likes to do is she's driving along about here, she shits herself. And she goes, I don't want to do a U-turn. There's too many cars. I'm scared. So she turns right down this street. And she doesn't want to do a U-turn on that street either, so she turns right up the next street. And then she does a painfully slow three-point turn in a driveway. And then comes back down to this street, back down along here, and then back up to where we needed to get to. And that takes 45 minutes. And I just have to sit there in silence. Look, she's a better person than I am, okay? She does leave dishes around a lot, just half-drunk glasses of water everywhere. And it shits me, but we never fight. What we do is we passively-aggressively get shit off our chests via one of the cats. So I'll pick up a cat and I say something like, oh, Mum leaves a lot of dirty dishes around, doesn't she? And then later on, she'll pick up a cat and go, oh, Dad can't show his emotions because his father left him when he was a child. Ooh. Yeah, she's a lot better at it than I am. She's a terrible morning person. She's horrific from the hours of like 6 until about 9:30. She looks different. She sounds different. I think she's a different person. She scares me. If I get up before her, it's safer for me to grab some clothes together and go into the kitchen and change in the kitchen. Go, don't make too much noise. If you wake her up, she'll stab you in the face. She's terrifying. I was getting up early for work, this was a while ago, and I was getting up at 6:30, and on the Monday, got up at 6:30, and she was asleep, and I leant over and went, oh, bye, and kissed her on the shoulder, and she went, oh, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I was just saying goodbye, and she went, oh, just fucking go. And I went, oh, sorry, go back to sleep, sorry. And I left. Then on the Tuesday, 6:30 in the morning, she was asleep and I thought, I won't disturb her. I'll let her sleep. That's what she wants. And I went off to work. Yeah, you all know. I got a text message from her at 9:30 that said, "How come you left without saying goodbye?" What the fuck am I meant to do with this situation? So Wednesday, 6:30, I'm just standing at the end of the bed, just staring at her. I didn't know what to do. I'm looking around for help. There's no support. And I'm thinking, do I go or do I say goodbye? What do I do? And I was kind of hovering above her like that. And she woke up and saw me above her like this. And just went, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And I went, "I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared. Help me." About 4 years ago, I was in Chicago in December. Okay, I was in a place called Schaumburg. And that is the coldest I've ever been in my entire life. I wasn't prepared for that at all. And I was doing some shows there in Schaumburg, and I was in the hotel looking out the window. There was a Whole Foods about a mile away. And like everything was frozen over. There was no people walking around and all the cars were covered in snow. And look, I don't know the cold. I didn't know if I could walk that mile without dying. I didn't know. I didn't want to be a statistic on their news. Idiot Australian thinks he can walk a mile in December. He has perished outside the Whole Foods in Schaumburg. I didn't want that to happen. So I put my beanie on and my scarf on and my jacket on, and I put sweatpants on and then jeans over them and like another jacket, and I had all my clothing. I looked like an idiot. I was all puffed out like Kevin from Home Alone. Like... And I walked out of the hotel room and the door shut behind me, and I went, "Oh shit, I forgot my room key." But I thought, don't worry about it. You can worry about that when you get back. So I started walking over to the Whole Foods. About a mile, or about half a mile, this young girl walked past me just in a t-shirt and looked up at me like, "What the fuck is wrong with this guy?" And I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm a foreigner. I'm not from around here. Hello." So I knew I had too much clothing on, but I got to the Whole Foods and I took the jacket off and I took the scarf off and I took the beanie off. And then I wanted to get this green juice. And I found out the green juice was $17. And I was like, "Oh, come on, $17? And then I looked across and there was a lady giving out free samples of the very juice that I wanted, and pretty generous sized samples. So I went up to her and I said, "May I try one of your juices?" So I had one. And then I said, "That's really good. May I have another?" "You're allowed to ask for two. We've all decided in society that when sampling, you're allowed to have two." So I had the second one. "You can't ask for three. That's too much, okay? That's cheeky." So I had to think of tactics to get the third, fourth, and fifth one. So this is what I did. I don't know why I thought this was a good idea. I went into the other aisle and I put my jacket back on and my scarf back on and I put my beanie back on, and then I walked back up to the lady and I went, "Hello, I'd like to try some green juice." And she just stared at me and I panicked. I don't know why I said this. I went, "My twin brother was just here. And he said I simply must try your green juice." So I'm just deep in a sea of juice lies at this point. And she burst out laughing and then leaned in and said, "Have as much juice as you want. As soon as all this juice is gone, I get to go on break." So I'm her new best friend. I'm like, "Well, let's have a juice. Come on. I'm getting other people involved. Come on, we're getting Mary on break. Have a juice." We finished all the juice. Mary went on break. I had way too many juices. I had like 17 juices. I put my beanie back on and the scarf back on and the jacket back on, ready for my mile walk back to the hotel. And about quarter mile out, I realised, that's too much juice. That's too much. We're about to have a problem here. This is a problem. Look, it's one thing if you need to pee really badly, but if you need to... That is an emergency situation. I don't want to be a statistic on the Chicago News. Australian shits his pants outside the Whole Foods in Schaumburg. He has perished outside. I don't need that on my adult life resume, so. And the shit that was going through my head, like, I was walking along going, you could jump between these two cars right now and this would all be over. And I'm like, you're not doing that. You're an adult. You're not shitting between cars. What are you, insane? So this is all I could do, all right? Now, you've all done this before. Don't act like you haven't. What it is, it's the fast-paced walk, and then you have to gather yourself. And that's the only way you can get from A to B, all right? You go, 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 go. Oh, shit, 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 shit. You've all done it before. You know damn well you have. Don't act like you haven't. It's all you can do. You go, 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 go. Shit, 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 shit. Ah! Ah, God! So I did that the whole mile walk back to the hotel. I stopped like 50 times. It took me so long to get there, but I struggled and I got there and I made it and I was sweating. I was sweating by the time I got to the hotel. And I went to the elevators and I remembered, shit, I forgot my room key. And I went up to the guy at the counter and it's like he knew exactly what was going on. Because all I did was go up to him and just go, "Dah!" And he went, right, this guy's about to shit his pants and doesn't have a room key. Because he just went, yeah, and handed me the key and I went, "Ah!" I went to the elevators, I went up to my floor and I got there and I got to my room, I opened the door. I opened the bathroom door. Now, why is it that your brain thinks it's made it to the toilet when it sees the toilet? I was like, no, we're not there yet. What are you doing, for God's sakes? And I jumped in the air and I got my jeans off and I got and I dove and I went, kshhh. And I made it. Every little step, that whole mile back, everything. The relief when I made it to the toilet. And then I remembered I was wearing two pairs of pants. And that's the story of the time I shat my pants in Schaumburg in December on the coldest day of the year. Thank you very much for coming out, Denver. I appreciate it. Thank you. Good night.